Helpline. It is the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. They do a wonderful job sticking up for religious freedom in a tough environment. Hannah Smith is their senior counsel, and we're going to talk a little bit about HHS mandates and Obamacare and maybe even a few other things because it's such a fertile field, this world of religious liberty. Hannah, it's a pleasure to have you. How are you?
Thanks so much, Mark, for having me. It's great to be with you. I'm doing great.
Thanks a million. All right, Notre Dame is leading the charge. There's an explosion of new challenges to the HHS mandate, and there's been, for those who have sort of been paying half attention, there's a lot of negative attention that's been coming because a lot of employers, Catholic schools, Catholic hospitals, would be forced to offer contraception if Obamacare had the level of mandates that its crafters intend. So there's a battle in which some of these employers are saying, wait a minute, our religious freedom is violated if you make us do this. Tell me about Notre Dame. Tell me about some folks that you've worked with at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty and how this battle is going.
Sure. This battle actually started last November when we filed on behalf of Belmont Abbey College, which is a small liberal arts college in North Carolina that is run by monks. We filed on their behalf challenging this mandate in federal court in Washington, D.C. And since then, now to date, we have 23 cases that have been filed in 15 states, including the District of Columbia, on behalf of 55 plaintiffs. So beginning with that one case on behalf of Belmont Abbey, now we have this cascade of cases that has challenged this unconstitutional and unlawful mandate that would, you know, force these religious organizations to purchase these drugs and services against their conscience. So it's a really vital, critical issue at the juncture of religious liberty.
I want you to help people out with something, because any arguments we make about this, about constitutionality, need to not be based on whether we like or don't like Obamacare, whether we admire or don't admire the president's goals. If we say something's unconstitutional, it needs to be because it is unconstitutional. So, counselor, if you would, tell me why the HHS mandate is violative of our founding document.
Well, the HHS mandate is unconstitutional and unlawful in so many different ways. What I think is really telling is that the HHS Secretary Sebelius herself has admitted under oath now before two different congressional committees, when she's been up there answering questions from senators and congressmen, that she did not consult the constitutional precedents and that she didn't even ask for a legal memo from the Justice Department before making her decision on this mandate. So that's really amazing, an amazing admission on her part, that despite the fact that they've made these various statements, that they've balanced all the interests and that they find this mandate to be constitutional, she actually admitted under oath that she never asked for advice from the Justice Department on whether, in fact, it's constitutional. Now, of course, it's unconstitutional. There are a variety of ways that it violates the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause. It also violates a federal law known as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is a law that was actually championed by Teddy Kennedy and signed into law by Bill Clinton. So it's hardly a law of the vast right-wing conspiracy. And it actually protects religious exercise from the substantial burden of government. So it says to the federal government, you cannot substantially burden the religious exercise of a religious individual or entity. And here we have an amazing substantial burden on these religious groups. If a religious organization does not comply with this mandate, they would be forced to drop their health insurance and thereby incur a fine of $2,000 per employee, and that's just the first year, and those fines would increase in future years. That fine is crippling to many of these religious organizations who are on shoestring budgets as homeless shelters or soup kitchens or what have you. So this is definitely a substantial burden under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and we believe that these federal courts will agree with us on that point.
Hannah Smith is here, and she's senior counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and you can follow their exploits at Beckett, B-E-C-K-E-T, BeckettFund.org. Hannah, you mentioned just a moment ago, this is golden that you've done it. You invoked the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This was 1993. It was the beginning years of Bill Clinton, Ted Kennedy, Chuck Schumer were all about this, and one of the main thrusts at that time, a lot of it had to do with Native Americans. Some corners of whom, you know, we're into, you know, the use of peyote as a sacrament or something like this. And the argument was that if American law runs afoul of some sincere religious wish, then maybe the law needs to relent a little bit, which is an interesting two-sided sword, because using that exact same argument, that is the argument you make in saying that the religious wishes of Catholics should be respected rather than trampled by the HHS mandate.
Yeah, well, there was a 1990 opinion called Smith, Unemployment Division v. Smith, that actually said if a law is neutral and generally applicable, then this compelling governmental interest test doesn't apply. But there are ways in which Smith does not apply if a law is, for example, contains exemptions within it, individualized exemptions or categorical exemptions, meaning that it exempts a whole group of people from the application of that law, then the law is not generally applicable, and that standard, that higher standard of a compelling governmental interest, should apply. And here I think we would argue under the First Amendment that there are a whole bunch of exemptions that have been granted to the Affordable Care Act. In fact, there is an exemption that permits any plan that is grandfathered to not be subject to this HHS mandate. And, you know, the estimates currently are that something like 100 million people will be grandfathered under the Affordable Care Act. And so if 100 million people are exempted from this application of this mandate, it's hard to say that this is a generally applicable law that applies to everyone. So that's the first point. And then the second point is that RFRA came along after the Smith decision to overturn Smith and, as a matter of federal law, say that we're going to reinstate this more advantageous test, the compelling governmental interest test, for religious individuals and institutions. So we have both claims in our lawsuit. We have a claim under the First Amendment. This is not a generally applicable law because of all of the waivers and exemptions that have been granted. And we also have a claim under RFRA, which says that we should get this higher compelling governmental interest test that the government can in no way meet here.
If I have you, and here you are, a senior counsel for a great outfit like the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and you're invoking all these wonderful things about religious freedom and the First Amendment, there's another story in my stack of stuff that I'd love to bounce off you in very broad terms, because I'm intrigued by it, and it's obviously right in your wheelhouse, if you don't mind. Here we are in 2012, a campaign year, and there are going to be some preachers in some pulpits saying some things that are political. They always have, they always will. I want to know, as an attorney who obviously cherishes and studies religious freedom, where do you think that line is drawn? There's a case out of Louisville where there's an Eastern Kentucky Baptist pastor who's not thrilled by President Obama's embrace of the equanimity of gay marriage, and went to his flock and said, you know what, I want you to vote against this guy. And that made a lot of people freak out in 12 languages. Oh, preachers can't do that. Can they?
Well, you know, that's a really, really important issue, and it's certainly one that the Beckett Fund is very concerned with. And, you know, we believe at the Beckett Fund that preachers should have just as much First Amendment protection in what they say over the pulpit as any individual does in this country. And so certainly we would not agree with the attempt by these very secularist groups like Americans United for Separation of Church and State and others that are going around the country trying to drum up these charges against preachers who talk about very significant moral issues of our time over the pulpit, and indeed may have an opinion based on religious values and religious doctrine that impact on important issues that are going to be put before the electorate during an election year.
That's exactly my thought as well.
We would definitely side with the preachers on this one, and they need to have just as much First Amendment rights as anyone.
You bet. Now, here's the even-handedness test, and if there is a preacher somewhere who, based on a religious argument as he sees fit, wishes to compel the electorate to vote for President Obama against Vice President Romney, I would surely disagree with that logic, but I would stick up for his rights to do it as well.
Well, sure. I mean, we have to apply it even-handedly, and we have to say that people can preach according to the dictates of their own conscience, and they should be able to talk about moral issues on an election year. So, yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the important point to note here is that the Beckett Fund is not a partisan outfit. You know, we defend everyone's religious freedom. We're named after Thomas Becket, who was a 12th century priest who battled King Henry II of England over the rights and privileges of the church, and he was ultimately martyred for it. And so, you know, we represent everyone from A to Z, from Anglicans to Zoroastrians. As long as they're sincere believers, we don't care what your politics are. We don't care about partisan issues. We care about defending religious liberty. So go to bucketfund.org, and you can find a great resource page on there about the HHS mandate cases and a whole bunch of other cases that we're litigating across the country right now.
When I woke up this morning, I did not know that I would hear the word Zoroastrians spoken by a guest caller or me on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Hannah, thank you very much, and continued